So as I was saying, when you read 1 John, I'm going to back up to 1 John 1:3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Who are we? And we're in him. So that means no darkness in him, in us. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, if we're walking in darkness, you could draw that relationship that you're not tender-hearted. You're walking in darkness, see? Because if you're tender-hearted, this is something where I'm in fellowship, I'm yielded to him, and I'm sensitive to him. As the way I'm saying this here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, see, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So how many realize, you know, when you are not tender to something and you oppose something, isn't it difficult to be in right fellowship with one another? Yes. It sure is, isn't it? And it's also difficult to be in right fellowship with God. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
It's true, anyhow. Because when our hearts are not tender, it's difficult to be in fellowship one with another and with Jesus Christ. Is difficult. And we all know that. When we repent and we get it right, there's a flood of his presence. Sometimes when we're out there, it's, you know, you get out in left field with something, it's like the windows of heaven have shut up. And you're like, where is God? You see? Well, he didn't leave, you left. See? So, I think that's really what was the theme Sunday, was being tender-hearted and keeping our hearts tender. And how do we go about doing that? This says here that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus. See, that's the thing that causes us to have our heart tender. See, because if you continue down, And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's your tender heart. Right there. Tender heart, tender heart, tender heart. And we have fellowship one with another and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So tonight, what I wanted to do is pick up and kind of add to that a little bit. So I've entitled this message, and so often we hear, because I've heard this question asked at one of the meetings, I'm not sure if it's my spirit or the Holy Spirit. Right? Have anybody heard that? Or let me ask a question. Have you ever asked that question? I think a lot of us have, right? Is that me or is that the Holy Spirit, right? I'll say it another way. So, or some may say, or you could add to that, is it me, my flesh, or the Holy Spirit, right? You could add that in there, right? So they're all the same? Did somebody say? Huh? You think that's all the same? You, your flesh, and the Holy Spirit? Oh, okay, all right. It'll pray for your hearing. No, I think they're different. But let's start. I know I don't want to get. Let's start. Let's read John 3:16. I know we're kind of working backwards here, but let's start with that scripture tonight. And let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, you know, sometimes when you're out and about and somebody says something that says, well, God is condemning people, you can bring them right to the scripture and show them, no, that's not true. That's a great opportunity to just share with folks, God is not the condemner. Neither is Jesus. The only thing that people are going to be condemned or punished or sent to hell is for not believing in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's not holding their wrongdoing against them because Jesus already paid for it. He became sin for every man that ever will be or ever was. So he's paid the price. He became sin. So no one is being condemned for sin. The sin is not believing in Jesus and on the name of Jesus. Because if you don't believe on him, then you don't believe on what he did. You don't receive what he did for you. Amen? Now let's turn. I want you to, let's turn over to Proverbs. Let's look at this again. I think this is an important scripture. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 20, chapter 20, and verse 27. It says, the Spirit of man. Who is this? The Spirit of man. So when we talk about, and it continues, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Not all the inward parts of your mind. It's the inward parts of your belly. And some of the modern translations, the New Living Translation said, the Lord's searchlight penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. See, so that's why when the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, your spirit is not right. Because your hidden agenda, your hidden motive, God will put a spotlight on it. Some of us, he may put a spotlight on you saying, I want that pie. And you go, he'll go, no, don't know. I didn't say everybody, I said some. Some, it may be, you know, I want to buy something, whatever it is. Or I want to do something, you see. Some folks, that's why, you know, I can't for the likes of me. When I got born again, his life, his very nature came into me And there was a, what's the word? You already knew what was right and wrong, but your heart, he enhanced that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you knew what was right. And so sometimes this is what is, where we wonder, we ask questions, how could that person do that? They were a Christian. They were a spirit-filled Christian. And this question here, is it my spirit, the flesh, or the Holy Spirit? Because we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. Some people are not led by their spirit. Let me back up. Let me not say that. That's not correct. You're always going to be led by your spirit. Because if you say the wrong things and you deposit it in your spirit will lead you. Your spirit is always going to lead you. Your spirit will. You may not recognize it, but you'll get a thought. I think I need to go over here. And that thought is the fruit of what you've put in your heart. Let me say it that way. Your spirit will always lead you. But the Holy Spirit now resides in you. He is what? He's a co-witness. He's a witness. What does that mean? You get this thought, you get something that says, I think I'm going to go do this. And what does a co-witness do? Either agrees or not and says, no. No, don't do that. That's a co-witness. So if we are leaning to the flesh, and our mind hasn't been renewed, then it's difficult to be led by the Spirit of God. Because your flesh and your unrenewed mind are going to be in agreement with your spirit. And that's how a lot of people make wrong choices, and people wonder, what were they thinking? Well, they're yielding to their flesh or their unrenewed mind. Is that not true? And so sometimes we have to ask those questions. We don't know enough about everyone, but when people make choices and do things, this says here, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If I'm cleansed and I'm walking in fellowship, I'm walking in the light, how can I do something that kind of reflects I'm walking in the dark? You can't be. Because what I believe, what did Elder Bill read tonight? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So then my question becomes, how come people are making some of the choices that they're making? Because they're not trusting and they're not acknowledging. And on top of that, turn over to Romans. You can see this. See, this helps us. You know, I say it this way. We're well taught, so I'm not sharing this for your sake, in the sense I'm sharing it so that you are ministers of the gospel. You've been past fed milk. So this is for something that you are, when you go out into your highways and byways and places, you're aptly prepared to see and observe, not to condemn, but to help and share. You see, isn't that true?
Yes.
Romans 12, look at verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, who?
Brethren.
by the mercies of God that you do what? Okay. So there's number one. You have to present your body as what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's the next word? And. So that means you're not only just presenting your body, but and it says what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's two things that we have to do, and this is all part of being led by the Spirit of God. You have to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when you say, how the heck did they do that? Well, if you don't continually present your body and you don't continually renew your mind, you have the possibility you can make some wrong choices. You can be led by your flesh. I just have to have this. Really? Did you ask? No, I just have to have it. Or you're not renewing your mind on the Word of God. See? And those are the two, to me, those are the two areas. You see? Some folks, you know, when it comes to certain things, you just need to be honest and say, you know, I just wanted that. Because folks will then add to it and say, the Lord, I believe it's the Lord leading me to do this. And you go, you know what? Please don't insult my intelligence. Please don't do that, because that's not correct. You just be honest and say, I wanted to do that. I wanted that. That'd be more honest. You see, so those are, to me, key areas that if we put the flesh down and we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, then we may not do some of the things or may have made choices that we've made. You see, because when we want to do something, when our flesh is involved, we're not hearing the Holy Ghost clearly. And when our minds aren't renewed, truly, that's another reason why we don't hear him accurately. You see. So when we start talking about, is it my spirit? Is it the flesh? Well, we're just talking about this right now. If it's your spirit and the Spirit of God lives in you and you have eternal life in you, then your spirit is a good guide. But if you are letting the flesh dominate and the unrenewed mind dominate, then the spirit isn't a good guide. Meaning your spirit is not a good guide. Because you're letting your unrenewed mind and your flesh dominate. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So that's why it's key. These scriptures right here, to me, are very key when it comes to when you look at and you sit there sometimes. I just scratch my head and go, how on earth did they do that? Why on earth would they do that? And you just have to say, you know what? And some, even here, sitting, not here, but in this congregation, will make choices and say, well, the Lord, and I, right. No, not right, wrong. That wasn't the Lord. And just as they say to men, man up and say, that was not the Lord. Please don't do that. That's not the Lord. See?
But your human spirit with the life of God and the eternal life of God and his spirit in you, if you keep your flesh under, your body under, it's a good guide. It's a good guide. Let's look at another scripture, Romans 8:12. You can look at Romans chapter 8. And this is a great guide. A great chapter, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8. And this is a good lead-in. We've been reading Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. But back up, since we're talking about this here, whether it's my spirit, the flesh, or the Holy Spirit leading. Look at back up and start reading in verse 12. It says here, therefore, I'm reading the King James, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Then verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, what are they talking about? Mortifying the flesh. Amen. Through the Spirit. And if you do that, and now you're led by the Spirit, see, not by the flesh, but you're led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, but it's saying up here in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let me read this, the New International Reader's Version. It says, if you live under the control of your sinful nature, you will die. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can put to death the sins your body commits, then you will live. See, and then that's verse 12. Then you continue in being led by the Spirit of God. The complete Jewish Bible, it says, for if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. But if by the Spirit, I like this, you keep putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. So for every one of us, we have to keep putting to death the practices of our flesh. Amen. Then we shall live. No one is exempt from that. Not one. You have to keep putting to death the practices, the desires, the wants of your flesh. And then you shall live. And then it says, and it continues, then again, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're led by the Spirit of God, you're continually putting to death the practices. You're putting down fleshly desires, soulish desires. You're continually putting that to death. Amen. Let's jump over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. So we're talking about very practical, and I liked that particular scripture verse from the complete Jewish Bible, because so often what I'm observing sometimes is that it's wonderful to receive a word from the Lord through someone. We rejoice. I do. But, as they say, the boots on the ground every day, this is what we have to do. We have to keep putting to death the practices of the flesh. Because you can get a word if you don't do that. It's not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 16. It says, chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." See? So you have to keep putting the flesh down. I like the Amplified. It says, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God." See, but we have God. But even with Him in us, living in us, with His nature and His life, we have to continually renew our minds and put the flesh down. Amen. And the cravings of the flesh. Because otherwise, you're leaning to your own desires and understandings and not trusting in Him. Amen.
Amen.
So back to the question, is it my spirit? Is it the flesh? Well, I think we've looked at that. I think all of us know when it is. And is it the Holy Spirit? Now, we've heard people, I have and I know you have, saying, "Well, I thought that was just me." How many have heard that? "I thought that was just me." Well, who are you? The Bible says in 1 John, God is a what?
Spirit.
He is a spirit. And if we're made in His image and likeness, then what are you? You are a spirit. And so the more that you grow spiritually, you become more aware that you are a spirit.
Yes.
You're not worldly minded, you're not fleshly minded, you're spiritual minded, and you become, I know for me, the more you immerse yourself in the Word of God, the more you immerse yourself, spend time praying in the Spirit, you become more aware of spiritual things and that you are a spirit. Now it's not just reading it, okay, I read I'm a spirit, but I'm still not sure. Was that me? Something told me, I'm not sure. No, you become aware, more aware, that you're a spirit being. You have a soul and you live in this body. And so often folks have said this, well, I know people when I leave this body. Do you know them now? Can you see people now? Well, if you leave this body, you're going to see them then. So your spirit is the real you. So when we operate, when we function, the Holy Spirit in us bears witness with our spirit. And so as we are led, if you're led to do something, if you are spending time, this is the point we're trying to make, if you are renewing your mind on the Word of God and you are continually putting to death the practices of your flesh and you are presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, your spirit is a good God. Why is that? Because the life of God is in you. God is not going to lead you to do something wrong. And your spirit will not lead you to do something wrong. And the reason I say that is because if you are renewing your mind on the Word of God and you're professing what the Word of God has to say than what I plant in here, the seed, the incorruptible Word of God that gets planted in here is going to produce a crop that I can follow, I can feed from, can't I? It won't be corrupted. So let's turn over just for a moment. We were over in 1 John. Let's go back there a second. 1 John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's back up. Wow. My goodness, I don't think we want to start with 9. We'll back up. How about we start with 6? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, are we born of God?
Yes.
Doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. Man, I'm telling you, that's powerful right there. If his seed remaineth in you, that seed is not going to cause you to sin. I'm talking about in your spirit now.
Amen.
So your spirit is not the thing that's making you to sin, is it?
No.
It's the flesh and it's the unrenewed mind.
Amen.
Or soul. It's not your spirit, man, that's causing you to want to transgress God. Because when the Word of God is taught under the power of God, people do what? See their transgression and do what? Their heart responds and they repent. So it's not the heart, the spirit, man, that's causing one to transgress, because his seed remaineth in him, in us. So it's important that when see, I always like to do this. How many like to check up on themselves? How many go, I do this? I don't know about you, but if I miss it, I'm asking, why did I miss that? Why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? Because if you can see why you did it, then you can correct that. You see? Why did we miss his leading? Why did we miss hearing? Why did I make that choice? See, if it was the flesh, well, then you know what to fix there. See? You know what to put down, what to stop. If it's the mind, if it's something where you're not feeding enough on the Word of God, your mind's not being renewed, you know how to fix that. You can see what it is. So I like this scripture. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Wow. That's powerful. Isn't that powerful? So we can see the difference between light and darkness, between those who are of God and those who are not. They commit a sin because his seed is not in them. So now they've got the flesh, the unrenewed mind, and a darkened spirit. So you can see why they choose some of the things they do. No sense of right or wrong. But we have the light in us. We have his seed in us. So if we make a choice one way or another, and it's not a godly choice, then it has to be either the flesh or our minds, our soul, haven't been renewed enough. But when it does, see, then when the mind is renewed and it gets in agreement with your heart, what does it do? It begins to dominate what? The flesh. I'm not doing that. And the more you feed on the Word of God, your heart's brand new. It's a new creature. You stand up and go, I can't do that. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't like that. I was sharing with Pastor Greg today. I know we've had these discussions that I'm getting to the place where I cannot watch certain things on television. I can't do that anymore. And what may have been okay, I'm not talking about something that's risky. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, we were talking about just things that might have been funny or comical. That's not funny. Comedians will do things where they'll say, you know, I hate you, and it's like a joke routine. Stiller and Mara, and you know, those kind of things, like, I hate my wife, and this, and I'm saying, that's not funny. I don't think that's funny. And certain movies that people are flocking to, I can't do it. Sorry. That's me. And I'm not imposing that on anybody, but things that may find as entertainment, I look at some things that people are posting on Facebook, and I'm sorry, I have to ask the question. I just have to ask that people are watching some TV shows, and I'm going, why you watch that? Why you even feed on that? Why are you feeding on that? You know, I was sharing with Pastor Greg, I read this little article. Michael Landon, when he was alive, he made this statement. He said, TV is like, you know, you're sitting in front of this, and he said, you wouldn't even let these people in your house, but you let them in through television. And all of the actors laughed, and they went, yeah, that's true. It's some of the honoriest characters. You let them in through television, but you wouldn't dare let them in your own home. But we watch it. And I thought, something wrong with that. People, I'm not going to name any shows because I certainly don't want to. I'm not even going to say. But I read some things on Facebook and I'm like, people have got to stop to watch something that's got sex and violence and immorality. And I'm like, Christians are saying, oh, this is a great, I'm like, what? I'm sorry, here's the thing, we're about so close to the return of Christ, where souls are hanging in the balance, and God is looking for a people that he can lead and let the rivers of living water flow out of them to help a lost and dying world. We need to reevaluate what we're doing. As Brother Marty was here sharing, understanding the times that we're in. That this is a time to commit our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies to God in everything we do. So that wherever we go, we're at his beck and call to touch people, touch their lives. You don't realize, you know, wherever we go, you know, and especially if you go into establishments on a regular basis. I mean, we go into certain establishments and I was sharing with Pastor Greg, this woman, young lady behind the counter. She, I was getting some vitamins, and she said, "You know, what do you do? You always," she said, "you look like a teacher." And I said, she said, "You know, you just look like, are you a college professor or something like that?" And I said, "Well, I'm kind of a teacher." And I said, "I'm a pastor." And she went, "Oh." So that changed the whole dynamics of that conversation, you know. But I just was smiling, and I said, you know, just sat there. I didn't wait for the bill and so forth. But as God is my witness, every time I come in now, she's friendly. She's got something. She wants to talk about, you know, going to Mass or something like that. And I said, "Hey, wherever you are, but you don't know what influence you may have in someone. And you just, you know, let the light of God shine through. Be a light. Be led." And I think where we are in this season is being sensitive to His Spirit, being tender-hearted, not letting the flesh and the unrenewed mind dominate. Too many things are at stake. Too many lives are at stake. This isn't about me or even you. It's about Him and Him trying to work through us to reach people. And so this is all, to me, all part of being led by the Spirit of God, because it's difficult to be led if we have these other things working in our lives. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for these times that we have together. Thank You for working in our hearts and our minds and our souls. Every time we get together, we thank You that we continually expand inside. We grow line upon line, precept upon precept. And we thank You, Father, that our lives, even now, are a culmination of all the times that we've gotten together. So we don't look at one time or another as being better than the other. They all work together for our good. And we thank You that as we come, we open our hearts to grow and to adjust and mature in You. And we thank You, Father, that this is a great spiritual church. And we thank You that we are a spirit center for the nations. And we are led by the Spirit, filled by Your Spirit, controlled and motivated by the Spirit of God to help people and to bring this good news to this earth. And we thank You for it, Father. We say yes to Your will. We say yes to Your ways. And we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.